Listen Lysak,
the podcast about glass processing. Welcome back to our second episode about glass processing. My name is Sarah Hummelsberger. I'm working at the Lysak marketing. And today my expert is Harald, or Harry, who'll be telling us a bit about himself.
Yeah, my name is Harald Miksch. I'm working for the product management department, and I'm thrilled to learn the questions that Sarah is going to put on the table today as well.
And I'm looking forward to learning more about the answers. Today we're once again situated at our headquarters in Austria, and outside we are in the training department, so we will be hearing machines and customers learning how to use them, so we're sorry for any disturbances. Today we're talking about glass, which is a very brittle material. I'm a crafter, so I know it's very hard to do anything with glass without shattering it or hurting yourself, or just cutting it is always a hassle. So how do you cut glass? What's the process that's safest and most efficient?
Well, glass is an amorphous material, which means it doesn't have a regular crystalline structure and therefore lacks a long-range order in its molecular structure. The lack of structures gives it a uniform property, making it ideal, actually, for cutting and shaping.
Really? What kind of techniques can you use, and do they have advantages and disadvantages?
Sure. I mean, the most obvious technique is obviously to use a saw, for instance, with a diamond cutting disc. Depending on the thickness of the glass, the cutting process can get quite slow then, and you lose a lot of material due to the cutting itself, to the saw cut.
Does it also get heated?
Definitely. It's getting warm, and that's the reason why you need water cooling to prevent the overheating of the cutting disc and the glass.
So I guess there's a better way then.
There is multiple better ways, depending on the exact circumstances. Another possibility, for instance, would be to use water jet cutting, which is also a quite slow process, and is especially slow for thicker glass, but causes way less material loss than if you use a saw. And it does not require any cooling because water jet, the water cools itself
already.
What you can do with water jetting that cannot be done or hardly be done with saws is complicated shapes. This is also an advantage of laser cutting. With laser cutting, you can cut quite thin glass sheets. Very high precision is possible. Very little material loss is there. And it does not need any cooling as well. And you can do very, very complicated shapes with laser cutting as well.
What's the most common way of cutting glass?
Well, in the flat glass industry, there is a process that is most commonly used, and that's actually not cutting. It's scoring and breaking. It's a process that is way faster than the beforehand mentioned processes. It doesn't require any cooling, causes almost no material loss, but can be only used for straight cuts and slight simple curves.
Okay, that sounds almost all advantages. How does it work in detail?
Well, as the name suggests, the glass pane is not actually cut, but rather scored and then broken along the score line. We use a cutting wheel, usually a small wheel made of a hard material like tungsten carbide or diamond. And as mentioned, it doesn't actually cut the glass, but it scores its surface by creating a weak line. When then the force is being applied from the opposite side, the glass breaks almost with a clean 90-degree angle.
That's amazing. And I've heard my colleagues mention there's also oil involved. I'm not sure at what point of the process that would be helpful.
Well, the cutting oil fulfills a whole range of tasks. First and foremost, obviously, it's lubricating the cutting wheel and the cutting head. But what it also does, it avoids the material healing and ensures that the scoring line remains open and distinct. So when this glass is scored, a microscopic crack is formed. Without proper lubrication, the cracks can begin to close up again due to the inherent surface tension and viscosity of the glass. And the oil helps to keep the crack open, maintaining the integrity of the scored line.
So the glass is self-healing in a way.
Exactly, it is. It would heal itself if no oil would be applied onto the surface.
Incredible. What kind of wheel do you use to create an actual impact on the glass then?
Well, the wheels are a very hard material. They can be of diamond, they can be of tungsten, and these come in different diameters. They can be as small as 2 millimeters in diameter and up to 6 millimeters, or that would be 0.1 inch, to a little more than 0.2 inch. larger wheels do usually have a longer life, and they are used for thicker glass. Smaller wheels, on the other hand side, are preferred for precision and intricate work on thinner glass. Another thing that is very important is the angle of the wheel, because it affects how the wheel interacts with the glass surface.
So you wouldn't just put it 90 degrees straight on the edge of the glass?
Well, it's not actually the angle of the wheel itself. It's more the angle of the edge of the wheel.
Oh, I see.
So that one can have from 120 to 155 degrees. The smaller the angle means a sharper wheel is generally used for thinner glass and creates a finer score. A larger angle, which is a more blunt wheel, is suitable for thicker glass, providing a deeper score. And then there is the speed at which the cutting wheel is moved across the glass and the pressure that is being applied. Speed and pressure are interdependent. A change in one often requires an adjustment on the other to maintain the quality of the score. So the faster the wheel is moved, the lighter the score will be. Too fast and the score might be too light, leading to an uneven break. Too slow and it might create rough clipped line or overheat the cutting wheel even. And then, obviously, the more pressure is applied, the deeper the scoring line goes. Too much pressure can cause unwanted cracks or even breaks during the scoring phase and can reduce the lifetime of the cutting wheel. Too little pressure and the score might be too light for an even break.
I wasn't aware there was a whole science behind this, so let me see if I got it right. The thicker the glass, the blunter the cutting wheel needs to be, the higher the pressure and the lower the speed. If this is such a delicate process, what about the operators? How great is their role? Do you have to have decades of experience to get it right every time, or does anything support them at all?
Well, years ago, decades ago, it was like that. Nowadays, the machine usually helps with that. So the parameters are already stored for different glass thicknesses and glass types, and therefore the pressure and speed at which a particular cutting wheel must be moved across the glass is already stored within the cutting table. So all the machine operator has to do at the end of the day is select the type of glass, and the machine adjusts itself accordingly. This machine setting, also known as recipe, is usually provided by the machine manufacturer. But sometimes it may be necessary to find the parameters for a particular type of glass simply by trial and error.
So the operator actually profits from all the years of experience other glass processes already put into the machine.
Exactly. All the machine manufacturers, the people who created the machine, learn from all the machines that have been sold beforehand, and all the knowledge goes directly into the recipes within the machine.
So I've seen glass cutting tables before, and what actually moves the cutting wheel over the glass is the cutting bridge, right? Which is like a mount across the whole table. Does this have any exciting features?
Well, the cutting bridge is the heart of the cutting table. It is essentially a movable arm that spans across the table. Attached to this bridge is then the cutting head, which holds the actual cutting wheel. The primary role of that cutting bridge is to guide the cutting wheel precisely over the glass surface with the right pressure and speed, according to the recipe. So the glass sheet lies horizontally as it is scored by the cutting wheel, hence the name cutting table.
I see. So if the bridge can only move in two dimensions, I guess this kind of connects to the X, Y, and Z cuts I keep hearing about. But I'm never sure which one is which. Perhaps you can summarize.
Exactly. You need to imagine when you want to cut out 20 or even more glass panes out of a big glass sheet, you will have to do a lot of different cuts. And with a cutting table, all you can do is side-to-side or edge-to-edge cuts, so-called guillotine cuts. And if you want to cut out a lot of different glass panes, it obviously will not be sufficient to have just one directional cut. You will have to turn one of the residues of the glass by 90 degrees and make additional cuts. So the first cuts in the first direction, they are called X cuts. Once you have turned one of the glass panes around for 90 degrees, that's then the Y cuts. And then you might have to turn them again by 90 degrees, now cutting in the same direction as the original X cuts, but now they are called Z cuts. Of course, how many cuts you need in total and whether you actually need set cuts at all depends very much on the optimization. However, there are also cases where further cuts are necessary even after the set cuts. These are then the W, the V, and the U cuts, but that goes into great detail.
So I guess the optimization is actually the brains behind the whole operation. How can that help me to be more efficient when I'm using my glass sheets?
Well, there are already very sophisticated software algorithms that manage to optimize a large number of glass panes over several jumbo planes so that as little waste as possible is produced, or so that only very few cuts are necessary, as few as possible, so that the individual parts have to be turned as little as possible, so that, for instance, set cuts can be avoided altogether. Optimization can mean that the glass panes from many customer orders can be put out to a single jumbo plane, thus reducing waste to an absolute minimum. This can pose a major challenge, actually, for downstream logistics, but can greatly optimize the cutting process.
So you mentioned before that there's separate processes for doing curves and special shapes, but I'm wondering, I've seen burglars in movies just using a glass cutter to cut out a circle. Why is that not possible on a cutting table?
It is possible to cut diagonally, and you can do curves as well, but there are certain limits set by the physics. These are then so-called special shapes or true shapes, and this is a particular challenge for the optimization. These often need to be broken manually, where straight cuts are no problem on the other hand side. And then positive radii are also less of a problem with curves, but negative radii or acute internal angles often pose the real problem, which is why other cutting technologies are used then.
So I'm hearing movies have lied to me.
Yes, they did.
So we've now talked about cutting float glass, which is kind of sort of straightforward. But I'm guessing if you have coated glass or laminated glass, there will be additional processes necessary.
Well, in principle, the score and break process cannot only be used for single glass, but also for laminated or coated glass. However, the process must be adapted slightly for this. Laminated glass consists out of two panes of glass that have been joined together by an intermediate layer. This intermediate layer can have different functions. Usually it's a foil for sound insulation or to provide protection if one glass pane breaks. In any case, when cutting laminated glass, care must be taken not to damage that interlayer. So if you want to cut laminated glass, you practically have to score both panes of glass and break them in the same way as single panes, but twice. The intermediate layer, which normally remains undamaged when the glass is broken, must then be cut with a knife, which is all done fully automatically on nowadays cutting tables for laminated glass. If glass is coated, glass can be coated in different ways to provide additional properties, such as improved thermal insulation and therefore greater energy efficiency. One or more layers of precious metals are applied, and there are possibly up to 15 different layers, but they are all not visible. When coated glass is cut, the coating needs to be removed from the edge area. Therefore, different or special cutting tables or cutting bridges are required. That's the reason why we talked about that earlier, in order to be able to cope with the different processes for single glass, laminated glass, or coated glass.
But as far as I understand, you don't need to delete the coating of the edges for the cutting process itself, but for the following processes, right?
That's right. But that's a topic for another episode of Listen Lysak.
Yeah, you're right. So thanks for tuning in this time, and until the next episode.
Well, thanks, and bye-bye.
This has been Listen Lysak, the podcast about glass processing. Visit lysak.com to find out more about our innovative machines, automation solutions, software, and services made in Austria.
Or visit our company blog to read about the latest in glass processing and glass finishing. For more insights, Listen Lysak.